You were listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
I'll let you take it away from there. So welcome everyone to 1 Million Cups Appleton. We are a weekly gathering of entrepreneurs, community members, and people who support entrepreneurs, which I suppose are community members. Thanks so much for being here today. Today we have a Appleton based, right, Robert Appleton?
I'm actually out of Milwaukee, South Milwaukee. Oh,
Milwaukee, okay, Milwaukee based, but Wisconsin based entrepreneur. Really excited to hear about your business, which is Right Roads, RJ Roth Engineering LLC. So thanks so much for being here. Robert, take it away.
All right, Andrew. My background is I grew up working in the ITS, intelligent transportation industry. And what that is anything that makes the roads, basically, usually it's in the highways, but we also have city streets that makes the highways and byways safer and more efficient. For example, the dynamic message signs on the over the highways that say click it or ticket or 5 minutes ahead to this exit, along with when you watch the news, you'll see the cars driving down the street showing you the congestion. We also put speed sensors out there that show you how fast the traffic is moving. So it can automatically, with the software we install, calculate the distance and the time it takes to get to the next couple of exits. So I've been working about 25 plus years in the consulting industry for the large consultants, and they need such a high gross margin when they go out for these projects that they only do the larger projects. Well, that doesn't help the smaller cities and counties where a lot more of the accidents happen. In fact, more accidents happen within 5 miles from your home. 90% of all accidents happen within 5 miles from a person's home. So the old adage is, well, then just move. Well, guess what? People don't want to move. They want to stay in the city where they're at, and they're expecting the cities and counties to make their roads safer. Well, that's where Right Roads Engineering comes in. With all my experience, I have a smaller consulting firm so that I'll be able to provide the same service, actually a more centered service, a more unique service to the cities, because I don't have to have such a high gross margin. I don't need to make the $1.2, $3.5 million on every project to keep my large company afloat. I'd be happy making the 10 grand, the 15 grand on these smaller projects, and the city engineers get exactly what they want because I give them the one-on-one service. My intelligence and experience working with all the equipment, they don't know what they don't know. I'm able to bring that to the individuals and say, you have a flooding problem down here where this road goes down underneath the train tracks, cars drive down in there, and now the road is blocked. They don't know that I'm able to develop a flood system for them to tell them before the cars that go down there. So my experience working in the industry, I grew up in Wisconsin. I did actually grow up in Neenah, so I'm familiar with the Midwest contractors, electrical companies like Miller Electric and such. I am now down in the South, but more than that, I've traveled around the United States doing my consulting business. So I have a lot of connections and a lot of experience working with other product manufacturers, distributors. So that allows me to bring my worldwide expertise down to the lower echelons of the city and the county governments.
Awesome. Yeah. Are you ready for some questions?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Cool. Hey, thanks. Thanks, Robert, for being here today. I know that we've crossed paths before, so I know a little bit about your business. I'll kind of start off. So Are you, you've been doing consulting for a while? Like, have you also worked for companies that have done this? Like, sure. Just give me a little more detail on your background.
So the last two companies I worked with were actually traffic safety manufacturing companies. I had the pleasure of working with these two companies while I was in the consulting business. I worked for a company called Transcor, which is one of the largest ITS consulting firms in the world right now. I worked for them for about 16 years doing the consulting, designing, engineering, and project management. We didn't design the equipment. I would go out, I would talk with the Department of Transportation, find out what the Department of Transportation wanted, and then I would go to the drawing board, design the system from conception to completion, and that includes fiber optics communication or wireless communication, all the way down to the electrical, where to put the posts, where to put the cameras and such. And then I would have to go out and find the right pieces of equipment. Well, that's where I had the ability to work with all the different vendors out there, the actual camera manufacturers, the dynamic message sign manufacturers. I did that in Phoenix. I did that in Iowa, did that in Kansas City area, the metropolitan areas. And I wanted to get back home. So I had the opportunity then to work for this traffic and parking control company because I worked with them on several wrong way projects, developing a wrong way system. They then built the system for me. Since I had already worked with them to build the system, it was a seamless integration for me to walk right into that company and develop the world's leading wrong way design system. So along with that, after I developed that system, I went to another company called Traffic Calm out of Idaho. And instead of having a monopoly out there, I went to this company in Idaho, and I'm developing their wrong way and flood systems so that the people in the West Coast have the ability to have this system and not have to wait for the people in Wisconsin to get their time to go over there. My wireless background, I worked for a company called Bell Atlantic Mobile, which became Lucent, or Bell Labs, which became Lucent Technology. That was back in the early 90s where cell phones were just starting to develop big. I was their lead engineer in what we called Code Division Multiple Access, CDMA. That's where all the different cell phones worked on one frequency, but each phone had its own different code. So I worked with Bell Labs for 2 years. So that's where I traveled all over the Midwest and the West Coast developing what became Verizon. So it allowed me over time to I started out concentric on, hey, I'm going to do wireless. Once I had that wireless background, I kind of branched out to say I can use my wireless into the transportation industry to make these roads safer. And once I got tired of traveling all over the world and developing systems, I thought, you know what, why don't I just kind of come back home and sit back for a while, have a family, and just develop the system and let other people put it in.
Awesome. Yeah, wow, super cool. Any questions from the crowd? Mr. Wolterkin, did I see your mic?
I'm curious, you talked about how none of the, your competitors or the companies you previously worked for did this on such a small scale. They only did this with larger. Do you know why that is? Why has nobody ever attempted to do this on such a smaller scale?
Job security. Once you're in with a large firm, you're kind of in with a large firm and you grow up the ladder and you climb and climb and climb. And for some reason, if you have the intelligence and the drive in this industry to travel, people will promote you to the next higher rung in that ladder. They're always looking for project managers because the big projects are out there. The little projects get missed because people don't have time to take on the little projects, these sole providers. There are small consultants out there, but what happens is these small consultants, they start out as a mom and pop like myself, and all of a sudden they get more work from all these different cities. They have to hire more people, and then that small consulting firm becomes a larger consulting firm. It doesn't become the Goliath, but it does get to be a larger consulting firm where now they got to have food on the table for more than just themselves. They got to provide for 8, 10, 12 people, where I'm not looking to grow that big. I want to stay in one spot. I'm getting older now, and I want to enjoy the amount of time I spent into this. So I want to stay small.
So your goal is to stay within that realm where you'll always be servicing those smaller clients rather than growing past it and going to the bigger clients. Got it.
Yes, sir. Been there, done that, and I don't want to. It's pretty cutthroat business, and you're always looking for the next deal. So you're really not focused on this client where that's what they deserve. So my role is I've saved enough money where I don't have to work. I want to work. And so I want to make this local customer where I live and where I drive happier and safer.
So if I'm correct, we do have some of these types of signs, I think, that you're talking about in Appleton. Yes. Is that negotiated then at like a state level to get those signs in?
Sure. For example, what happens most of the time is they'll have a large highway project that's out. We're going to repave Highway 41 between Nina and Appleton. Oh, and since we're tearing up the roads and we're angering the traveling public anyway, well, let's put some conduit in the ground so that later we can put fiber optics in the ground for any project that we want. Oh, wait a minute. We've got extra money on this project because we can get a federal grant. Let's throw in an ITS budget for putting cameras between maybe from Menasha to Nina instead of from Nina all the way to Appleton. A lot of times, then they'll throw that into the large construction contract bid, and then the large contractor, who does the roads? I don't remember off the top of my head, but the large construction companies, they'll say, I don't know anything about cameras. I don't know anything about radio communication. ITS, I don't even know how to spell ITS. So we need to request someone who knows this stuff to help us with that. So what they'll do is they'll look for the first people that pop up, and obviously the larger consultant firms will pop up because they're paying the money to get onto the vendor list. And they'll say, sure, we can do that, but it's going to cost you $900,000 or 1.2 for my portion. And they'll say, yeah, that's only 10% of this large construction. We'll go with you. Because they're scared off by the little guys who would say, yeah, I can do that for $200,000. They're going to drop the low guy thinking he doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. So then they'll send this, the DOT will send this RFP out, request for proposal, for the whole road project, and then the large people will bid on it. Before that ITS portion gets into the large road project, they have to hire consultants to do the design work for them. They don't know themselves. Like I mentioned, they don't know what they don't know. So they have to hire a consultant to go in and say, how do I communicate to all of these devices? How do I talk back to my central system if I want to look at them back home or back at my traffic management center? What's the best place to put these cameras? These large consultant firms, they don't want to spend the time to do that because they're not going to make the money on that. That's another avenue for the smaller consultants to get in there. That's where these, like the Olson and Associates, they're the 5 to 10 person consulting firms. They have a lower gross margin. They're in the 30s, 30, 35% gross margin. because all they got to do is feed engineers. They don't have to have technicians. They don't have to have bucket trucks. They don't have to have augers, trenchers, and boring machines. So they're willing to take the scraps off of the large companies and leave the breadcrumbs basically alone.
Interesting.
Good question.
If they don't have the boring machines, do they use the exciting machines? Bad joke, sorry.
I tried to inject a little humor in it. You're far better at it than I am.
So, Robert, I can align with your perspective very well. I mean, throughout my career, it sounds like we had very similar career paths, and that's what I loved getting out of. I was in corporate world for about 18 years, and then got out of that, and then got into private practice as a solo, and then kind of slowly gotten bigger, and pros and cons all along, right? And the bigger organizations have more resources, have more stuff, sometimes more red tape, so to speak, but you got to find that balance. Do you find that you are busy as you want to be? I mean, being small, or was it hard getting started to get, how do you, I'm assuming you got a lot of contacts out there from your time in the industry. Is that really what was your marketing?
You're right. The contacts that I have been my marketing, and I haven't even launched yet. I am waiting to launch. This is kind of like my time to get stuff going. And I've got several clients already telling me, hurry up and launch. We want to use your expertise. I've been tempted to just, I already have the LLC founded. I have the bank account. I have everything ready to go, but I don't have the web page yet. And I don't want to launch with a substandard web page, because then as soon as I launch and people look there, they're going to be turned off and see this is a mom and pop business. He's not as professional as we need. So I'm waiting on that. And I've been tempted to take these one and two clients, but I'm just not ready to do that. I think I will have the clientele that I need, like you had mentioned, my contacts. One of the people that contacted me is for the Iowa Department of Transportation. They want me to develop their maintenance program. I ran that from start to finish. I designed it, I hired contractors, and I project managed the contractors to build the stuff. And then through TransCore, I had a team of 32 individuals to maintain that system. Well, the company that came in after I left, they're falling on their face because they're not sure what they're doing. And so they put it out to bid and they said, Rob, we want you to come in and manage a team as a consultant. You know, when we have problems, we'll have the team. But I said, I'm not ready. So what they did is they delayed the RFP for another year so that I'm ready. So they're waiting for me. So that one, that's the maintenance part of it, is a $3.2 million job for 5 years. My role isn't going to be hardly any of that. I'll be able to set the schedules, but I still think it's going to be right around $100,000. You know, if I wanted to do it the way I want to do it, it's pretty close to $100,000. And that's just one of them that I'll be doing maybe a quarter of the time, maybe 20%. Then I'll be able to go to the city of Franklin, the city of Nina, the city of Appleton. I'll start with the smaller companies because I know these people and say, hey, let's just start with a camera. Well, I can design that and I can get that done in a week. And then if they like it, then I can do more. So I think the clientele will be out there. Long story to get to that answer. Apologize.
No, and I guess I see it's the age old problem. How do you scale? I mean, it's like you're trying to avoid scaling up, right? Or that's where I guess that's, it sounds like you know, but was one person or two or three, you only have so much bandwidth. So it'll be interesting to see where you go, how you do it, and what you're doing. And I'm assuming you right now, you're in the ECED program with Amy?
I am, yes. Yes,
yeah. It's a great, great program.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay, well. You're on mute, Amy.
Amy, you're on mute.
Yeah. Rob's just about done. He's on phase 3. I think he has one class left. He completed Yeah, with me a few weeks ago. So,
deal.
Like I said, I have the webpage. I just don't want to do it. And there's been different schools of thought. Just launch the page or just start the business. You can always worry about that later. But you lose one client, you're not going to get that person back. So I've got time to do it right. I want to do it right.
Yep.
I suppose, Robert, you kind of just said what is kind of my thought. And you know, take it as you know, for whatever it's worth to you. But I would say, you know, like for a consulting company like yourself, you're really selling yourself. I would say like a website probably isn't going to be your marketing and or your biggest, you know, lead generator. What's going to generate leads for you, if I had to guess, is referrals from, you know, your clients, which I don't even, you know, to be honest with you, I would think like you probably don't even need a website to be successful with that. You know, a website is, you know, everyone says you need a website. Sure. You know, modern businesses have websites, right? But I would say it could even benefit you even more to get a client that's really happy with the services you provided, so that you can celebrate them on your website when you launch. You know, just putting up a web page that says what you do and making it polished isn't going to bring any leads to you. You know, there's so much to think about with websites these days. You know, how do people actually get to your website? It's going to be through a happy referral, which if they're happy and they're referring you, you know, how they get in touch with you could be through a phone call, an email, or through a website. But so I guess my point is, if my initial thought would be, if the only thing you're waiting on is your website, I would just get started, because the thing that's more important in the consulting business is, from my experience, is getting a happy client that's willing to be your marketing and be a referral source for you. And then you'll find that your website doesn't really even matter that much, but at least that's just from my perspective. And I used to do consulting work as well and built my own websites. And I honestly, from my first consulting company, I just let the website like actually die. Like it just wasn't like doing anything for me. It was all referrals, different industry than yours, but you know, yeah, it just wasn't, it was happy customers are your best marketing.
Website and show you what I had so far, but now it sounds like I really don't need it as much as I thought I did.
Well, I mean, and take this advice as it is, just advice from someone that you don't really know. But I don't know. I would say, you know, like the thing that's really going to help you on your website is if you had a testimonial from one of your already done customers, you know, which it kind of sounds like you're delaying that until you have a website. But I think having a happy customer is going to be the best thing to put on your website, you know. And it sounds like you have the work, so there's no concern there, right? Like you have some opportunities to make some really happy customers out of you know, these initial contacts that you have. So I would just focus on how do you get started with a customer, turn them into a rock star, who's then gonna, you know, I'm sure all these city people talk, right? They have networking groups, they have, you know, conferences that they go to. What you want is, oh, you guys got the new camera system? Who did that for you? And then they'll say, this guy named Robert, he's super awesome. He's responsive, you know, he's very reasonable. And here's his email. Give him a call. Tell him I sent you. You know, that's what people, at least from my experience, always did. And the website is like, you know, it's nice, but
Website will add credibility to you, Robert. And with the types of clients you're trying to secure and the work you're doing, you need things that add credibility as a startup. So I think definitely having a website is going to help you with the credibility because everybody goes online to check everybody out. Making sure your LinkedIn profile is up to date and professional as well is going to help you. But like I agree with Andrew, that your website isn't going to necessarily bring you clients. It's not going to get people to decide to do business with you. It is going to help them compare you to the other options that are available to them, because that's, you have to think about that. That's what your channels do, right? They make it increase awareness that you even exist. They help make it easy for customers to compare you to the direct options that they have other than you and to understand what your differentiation is. Websites, if it made sense, you know, would make it easy for them to engage with you to purchase, but that's not the kind of business you have. So you don't worry about that so much, right? Through your website. I think making sure it's simple, making sure they can easily contact you. And then I agree with Andrew, getting that first client, getting that testimonial on there will be huge. So I don't think it's an either or thing. It's a both and, as most things are in business, right? And, it sounds to me like you might have a little analysis paralysis. I have, you know, had the benefit of working with you for 10, 11 weeks, getting to know you, seeing your plan, understanding what you want to do. And you are a very highly skilled professional. I think you need to just get out there, get some clients, start doing the work, and the rest will fall into place. And you'll see from talking to customers and engaging with them, what types of things do you need on your website that will make it easier, right? What would enhance that customer experience when they come to your website? What is that user experience? But that'll come. You don't know right now because you haven't served enough clients. That'll come to you from more of that experience. So I would say, don't have analysis paralysis and get out there and get that client. And what is your sales cycle, do you think? Do you have any idea of how long it's going to take from when you talk to a client to when you secure them?
Thinking probably 11 to 12 weeks. Working in the industry, even with the larger clients, there's like Mike mentioned, there's a lot of politics that goes on in the larger companies, not more or less the government, where they got to go to the city hall. And usually you present it at the city hall meeting. And then you have another one 2 weeks later where you talk about it. And then another 2 weeks later, you finally vote on it. Well, then you're already 6 weeks into the idea. Then you come back and you design what they actually want. I think that'll probably take anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks because you always change what they want. They, like you mentioned, they don't know what they don't know. So you give them an idea and they'll ask, oh, that's great. Can I do this too? And so right. It drags it on and drags it on. But
yeah, that usually happens with customized opportunities when you're customizing things for clients, right?
Well, you can paint my wall 2 colors. Well, what colors do I want?
Right.
So you can hang a picture too. Wow. So yeah, yep. Exactly.
Yeah. But I totally agree with Andrew that website isn't going to, you know, probably make people, oh, look it, I found this website. Now I'm going to hire this guy. But it does all of those other things. Sure.
I would just clarify my point too a little bit by saying, like, I'm definitely not saying don't have a website, because like if you're a modern business doing business today, like you should have a website. But I would just say, like, if having your website perfect is the one thing that's making you wait, I wouldn't wait. I would get started and be honest with people, like, yeah, hey, I'm a new business and this is, you know, you're my first client. Like, how can I better serve you? And you know, whatever, like, don't feel like you have to dress up and try to be like this big, you know, customer. Like your credibility comes from just your years of experience. You know, you don't have to make it seem like you've been a consulting company for a long time. You know, like being a mom and pop shop is actually, you know, use it to your advantage, I would say, not try to hide that. But I definitely think like you need a website for sure. It's just, I wouldn't wait. I close some deals, get some clients, and then celebrate them on your website or learn from them and craft your website to be a, you know, to show them stuff that actual clients want to hear. But got an exciting time ahead of you, Robert. Like, this is going to be awesome. And you're obviously, you have a lot of experience that you'll be able to draw on, and super cool.
Great. Thank you.
And Robert, I'd like to beat the website horse a little bit harder for you. And I would like to just understand that when you have a website, you're never going to be happy with the website. You might be happy with it the day you release it, and then 2 weeks later, you're going to hate it and you're going to want to go back and revise it. And that's just the nature of a website. So I would encourage you to have people other than yourself look at your website and say, is this good? Because you're going to be the biggest proponent of not liking your website. But if other people like it, somebody that a custom potential customer that's going to go look at it is going to be like, yes, this is a good website. So don't, because just realize you're never going to be happy with it, and that you just got to kind of settle with it at a certain point and be okay with what it is. Otherwise, yeah, you're just going to go down a rabbit hole and you're going to be revising your website for the rest of your life.
All right.
So
working with a company to do it, and I didn't like it. So I'm like, no, you need to change it. So we did version 2. We're on version 7 now. So I feel what you're saying. So yeah, exactly.
So I think a big important part of this is you got to settle on one website and just go with it. And then let your customers tell you what they don't like about it. Don't let you make the decision of what's wrong with it. Let them make the decision, because you'll hear if somebody says, I don't know why this wasn't on your website. Well, if you keep hearing that, you should definitely add that to your website.
So what my website is right now is a depository of information. I for some reason, I can't pull it up. I kept clicking stupid internet lately. But anyway, it's got videos of wrong way driving solutions, flood solutions, overheight solutions, things that are available out there that people may not have known that were out there, where I can go to them and say, hey, if you're interested in this, here's my webpage. That way I don't want to say waste the time, but I don't have to spend the time telling them when I can show them the display on that. Basically, that was going to be like my marketing tool for information, the site or the products that are available. But like you said, it's not where I want it. So
be careful on that, though. Don't give up those opportunities for that personal interaction, because that's what's going to sell them talking to you. I mean, the demos on the website and some of the extras, I mean, that helps. But those personal touches are usually what closes the deal.
Okay.
And other than that, whatever else I said here, you got to pick the 80-20 rule. When it's 80% good, as long as there's nothing that's hugely detrimental, roll with it, and you'll improve it all day long.
Awesome. Any other comments for Robert today?
Or questions?
Yeah. No, I think, like, you know, you explain your business really well. So I've seen you before, so I don't really have any questions. I'm just excited for you. I can't wait to see you get started here. And I hope you come back and give us an update like a year from now or whenever it is to the 1 Million Cups community and let us know how things are going. And, you know, if you have other needs or things that we can help out with, then if there's no more questions, I'll ask the final question for 1 Million Cups, which is, Robert, you know, what can the community do for you today?
If you could get my name out there saying that, you know, there's this dude who is brilliant, he walks on water and he can design anything for you. I guess that would be what I would ask of you. If you hear someone out there saying, man, Appleton's got all of these cameras, I wish I could do that. I know just the guy who can do that for you. That is what I'm looking for.
Awesome.
And to clarify, we should refer to you as that dude.
You need to call that dude. I will be that dude. You need to call that. Just like Gruber, one call, that's all. I'm the guy that calls.
Hey, can I have a request to the team? So when are we going to start doing these things live again?
It's a good Amy, I think it's coming soon. You got to ask Amy. I don't know if she's there right now, but I believe she said something about July frame, right?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm ready for us to be back. I'm just playing with Dale and, you know, waiting for, we finally went maskless yesterday at the Bordini Center, or personal choice. So that's a step in the right direction for the college. Finally, I'm finally doing in-person training right now. So that it's all about students and clients in the building and ramping up. And I just keep waiting patiently each month to hear when we are going to be able to serve all of our other clients in terms of all the other people have offices and use our space at Bordini. So I'm being patient. I'm trying not to be too much of a squeaky wheel because it doesn't really matter. They don't really care what I think, but it just frustrates me, right? I get upset. So hang on. Well, hopefully it'll be very soon. I did shake down another potential location for us because I was getting frustrated with the college's inability to let us back in. And that I think, and I told Dale about it. I said, yeah, I went and looked at, I'm looking for another location off site so we can get, people are ready to get back together. And I think that got his attention a little bit because he doesn't want it to go to another location. He loves it that we do it at Bordini. So I will continue and hopefully, you know, have an update for you soon. But it's just a strange situation. I've been back in the office going in and working since last August. I have colleagues at the college who have not been on campus since it was shut down, which blows my freaking mind and I can't believe it, but whatever, that's them. I just try to lead by example. I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. I want to do my work. I want everybody back at the office, but sadly I don't run the college. So, or not sadly, I should say, thankfully, I don't run the college. I don't have to worry about it, but as soon as we can, yes, we will get back in person.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, we'll keep everyone kind of updated on that. We're going to have to like figure out though, I do think one of the cool things that have come out of this is the ability to bring in remote companies and not have them have to travel to Appleton. So we're going to have to kind of think about that. You know, maybe we can set up a webcam situation, you know, in our usual room, you know, and kind of project the company and be able to ask questions from a crowd kind of thing. We'll have to give it a try, I suppose. But, you know, we definitely don't want to lose that part of it because it is, I think it's kind of cool. All the companies we've been able to be able to connect with. So cool. Awesome. I see our presenter has left, but thanks everyone for coming.
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker. And thank you for your continued support of 1 Million Cups and our community of entrepreneurs.